Father, we thank you now for the Word of God. It's time now to open it, Lord, and we ask you, Lord, as we open the Word of God, may you open our minds and our hearts, Lord, to the Spirit of God as he teaches us today from your Word. Lord, teach us, Lord, help us, lead us, and guide us. And Lord, again, may Jesus Christ be honored in all we say and do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Very familiar verse of the Scripture here today, 2 Timothy chapter number 3, and verse number 16, 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, the Bible says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now let's go back, verse number 16, all Scripture. How much Scripture?
All.
Notice there's two things about the Scripture here. First of all Scripture is what? Inspired of God. Number two, it is profitable. All Scripture. That means from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22, verse 21. All Scripture is inspired by God. All Scripture is profitable for man, for you and I. Now notice what it's profitable for. The Bible says for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. This is why the Bible is so profitable to us. Doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that we as children of God may be complete, perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works, that we're able to do what we can do. Apart from the Word of God, you and I are helpless as a Christian. There's nothing we can do from God that's going to bring glory to Him apart from the Word of God. We have to realize this today. So I'm thankful today that we have the Scriptures, we have the Word of God, that God has inspired for us, that we might be able to use it to bring honor to Him. Now, turn back to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. Our last quarter we talked about the subject of forgiveness. Well, today we're going to continue with that. Forgiveness. This is a very important subject. Matthew chapter 18, look at verse 21 and verse 22. Matthew 18, verse 21 and 22, we see here a question that is asked and then a question that is answered. The question that is asked in verse 21, then Peter came to him, that is Jesus, and said, Lord, how old shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him till seven times? That's a very important question, isn't it? How often shall my brother offend me, sin against me, and I forgive him? I forgive him. Now notice the answer that Jesus gave him in verse 22. Jesus said to him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. The number of seven is the number of completion, right? In other words, he's saying to you and I, to this Peter here, you keep on forgiving until it's forgiven. Amen? There's no limit. There's no number of times. You just keep on forgiving, keep on forgiving, keep on forgiving. By the way, isn't that what God does to us? He does it every day. He forgives us every day when we ask Him to forgive us, because we all come short of the glory of God. So we see here, the question here is asked concerning forgiveness, and the question is answered, commanding forgiveness. Commanding forgiveness. Now, as we look at forgiveness, today we're going to look at the beginning of forgiveness. Turn back in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 2. The beginning of forgiveness. Jesus told Peter, you just keep on forgiving. When somebody sins against you, you just keep on forgiving, keep on forgiving, keep on forgiving. Now, look here today where forgiving come from, the beginning of forgiving. In Genesis chapter 2, we see the heavens and the earth were all finished, and all the hosts are in, and we see that Jesus set aside the seventh day to rest. He sanctified it, the Bible says here, and he rested on that day. In Genesis chapter 2, verse number 7, notice what happened next, though. After the seventh day he rested, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now he's created man. He's created the heaven and all the hosts. He's rested on the seventh day, and now he's created man. Now, look at verse number 15. Verse 15, and the Lord God took man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Now listen, we're talking about the beginning of forgiveness, okay? And the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the who? The man. Notice this. The Lord God commanded the man. And the woman is not even created yet. Okay? The Lord God has created the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now God has given this commandment to who? The man. The man. He's given this commandment to the man. Okay? Now notice also in verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. Now let's drop down to verse number 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And notice they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. They were not ashamed. The miracle of what God can do, amen? And created a man and a woman. Notice in verse chapter 3, verse number 1, though, we're talking about the beginning of forgiveness. Here God has the earth created, the fullness thereof. He's placed a man in there and a woman, give him a helpmeet, and he's given them a specific instructions. There's one tree of the fruit in the garden that you don't eat of, because when you do, you're going to die. You want to die. Now, notice in verse chapter 3, verse 1. Now, the serpent was more subtle. That is, he was keen, he was wise, he's very skillful. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, the serpent said unto who? The woman. The woman. Yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Now notice what the woman said in verse 2. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Somebody told Eve, didn't they? It must have been Adam. He's the one around, right? Remember, God told the man, he commanded the man not to eat of that tree, right? Therefore, we see here now, the man, Adam, has told Eve, evidently, because she related to the serpent here, that if they eat of it, they're going to die. In verse 4, when the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. He's a deceiver, ain't he? For God doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. He always has the answer, doesn't he? He always has the answer, Satan does. Verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Self-righteousness. They sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves because they knew they were naked. Now, verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Can you imagine that? Hearing the voice of the Lord God walking in the cool of the day? My. The voice of the God walking in the midst of the garden. My, that must have been a sound that only they could hear. I can't imagine hearing that, can you? But anyway, they heard God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. When they heard God's voice walking in the midst, they hid themselves. Why? Because they knew they had what? Sinned. They'd done wrong. In verse number 9, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. He owns up to what he did. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee, that thou shouldest not eat? And the men said, who? The woman. We all blame somebody, don't we? Adam said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. She blamed the serpent. Always got someone to blame. Verse 14, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he says, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And to Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Now see the penalty God has placed upon all of them for what they did. There's consequences in sin, folks. We have to pay for sin. And we see this here in Adam and Eve, what they did. Verse 18, thorns also, thistles, shall it bring forth thee to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, from dust thou art, and until dust shalt thou return. Now look at verse number 20. We're talking about forgiveness. And Adam called his wife named Eve, because she was of the mother of the living. In verse 21, unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make what? Coats of skin and what? Clothe them. He gave a sacrifice. Without the shedding of blood, there is no what? Remission of sin. He gave a sacrifice and clothed them with coats of skin. We see forgiveness. God forgave them. He forgave them. Right there, he forgave them what they did. You know. Folks, I don't know about you. I'm glad that we have a merciful God. A God that forgives us when we do wrong. I'm thankful today to know that we see here the beginning of forgiveness. And listen, from Genesis throughout the book of Revelation, this is what this Bible is all about, folks. It's forgiveness. Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. Yes, he did. But the only way they can be saved is they had to be forgiven. Forgiveness is throughout this Bible here. We're going to look at it again this quarter, the Lord willing, the subject of forgiveness. We said last quarter, forgiveness is a decision to let go of two things. Number one is resentment. Resentment. And number two is revenge. Has anyone ever done you wrong and you wanted to get them back? I think all of us would have to say, yes, we have. Has someone ever done you wrong and you resented what they did to you? Well, forgiveness is a decision to get rid of those things. Resentment and revenge. That's what forgiveness is. Forgiveness can lead us to understanding and have compassion for those who have done us wrong or a situation that's done us wrong. It don't have to be a person. It can be a situation, a circumstance in our life that takes place in our life. Forgiveness does not mean that you deny the other person responsibility. No, it doesn't. Forgiveness is about us, folks. It's not about them or that circumstance. It's about us. It's getting our heart right. You see, getting our heart right. Forgiveness brings peace that helps us with life. Forgiveness will bring peace in your heart that nothing else can bring. If we will learn to forgive. Learn to forgive. We also see that forgiveness is a commitment. It's a commitment we have to make. A commitment to a process of change. A change. When we forgive, we have to make a change. Our attitude, our mind, our thinking, our emotions, everything. We have to change. Because this flesh don't want to forgive, does it? This flesh wants to retaliate, to get back, to hurt, revenge. But forgiveness is not that way. Forgiveness is not that way. When forgiveness releases the control and power of the offending person, it releases it from us. It releases from us. It's amazing what forgiveness would do for us and can do for us if we simply learn how to forgive. How to forgive. Forgiveness, however, is challenging. Probably one of the most challenging things you do in your life, as a Christian especially, is to learn to forgive. Forgive. We see, we need to reflect back on the times that others have hurt us. Or you've hurt others, maybe I should say, and they forgive you. Have you ever hurt somebody in your life and they forgave you? Well, we need to reflect back to those times in our life and realize, hey, God enabled them to do it. God can enable me to do it also. Forgiveness. The point of forgiveness is not to get another person to change their actions or mine. The point of forgiveness is about us. About us. Get us to change our mind, our words, our actions, you see. Think of forgiveness more than how it can change our life. Know how it can help change somebody else's life. There are times that we need to be changed, folks, in our lives because of what we're thinking, what we're saying, what we're doing. And God uses this to help us to do this. It can take away the power of the circumstance or person that's in your life if we learn to forgive. Forgive. You know, it's easy to tag along something that's bothering you, isn't it? I mean, it may be a circumstance, it can be people, whatever it can be, to bring it along with you. It's easy just to bring it along with you. And as long as you bring it along with you, it's going to have an influence upon you. It's going to hurt you. It's going to bring you down. But once we learn to release it and give it to God, then there's victory. Then there's victory in our lives when we do that, you see. Getting another person to change their actions or their doings, whatever, again, is not the point of forgiveness. The point of forgiveness is to change me. To change me. It's all about me, not about them. Okay? Remember, there's three things about forgiveness. These three things are very important. First of all, you can't force someone to forgive you. You can't make somebody forgive you. It won't happen. It won't happen. Number two, others need to forgive in their own time. In other words, they will forgive if you give them time, if you pray for them. We can't make people do what we want them to do. It takes time. See, God works in all of us, doesn't He? He works in all of us differently. Sometimes He works in us fast, sometimes it's slow. But no matter when that time is, God's still working, isn't He? He's to make us what He wants us to be. And it takes time sometimes for some people to realize how important it is to forgive. To forgive. So we can't make somebody forgive us. And everybody's going to have their time to forgive. Even I have time to forgive you. Or vice versa, you see. Whatever the outcome is, we need to commit have compassion upon others in Him, regardless of what the outcome may be. Have compassion. Have love. Jesus, God, loved Adam and Eve just as much after they sinned as they did before they sinned. He loved them the same. His love did not change. Neither should our love change either when things come into our life that we don't understand. We have to forgive. We have to forgive. Now, the question is this, why forgive? Why forgive? Turn over to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Why should I forgive? First of all, we should forgive because Jesus has commanded us to forgive, right? He's commanded us to forgive. But Hebrews chapter 12, look at verse 14 and 15. The writer says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, that is, with holiness. Looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby may be defiled. May be defiled. Why? Forgiveness. Forgiveness, first of all, it frees the forgiver. It frees the forgiver. If we will forgive, it'll free us. It'll free us. Sometimes we can't see that, but it will. We know that forgiveness is not easy. However, resentment and also bitterness is very damaging, isn't it? Bitterness can destroy you, folks. We're not to be bitter, we're to be better. And all we'll be better is learn to forgive. Learn to forgive. I'm thankful that God enables us to do this, folks. This is something we can't do ourselves. It's the Spirit of God that indwells us and the Word of God that helps us, instructs us to be able to forgive. Thank God that we can forgive. Aren't you glad you can forgive? I am. I'm glad I can forgive. Now, sometimes it's harder than others, but we can forgive with God's help, folks. You go out in the world today, you see people upset all the time with everybody, the world. You know, they'll get upset with you. No matter, just like that, they will. They need to learn to forgive. They don't learn, they can't forgive because most of them are not saved. They're not saved, you see. There's a problem in the world today that only God can help. The problem is nobody is accountable for their own actions. If everybody was accountable, or there was a penalty for our own actions, there'd be less actions going on. I'm talking about like stealing, killing, all these things. If there was a consequence for every one of those things that happened, there'd be less of it, folks. But we live in a world today that people can do what they want to do and nobody's accountable. Not to God, not to mankind, not to anybody. I'm going to say this. All of us, no matter who we are accountable to God. God is the final authority. He's the final authority to everybody, you see. We may get by in this life for doing something maybe to someone else, but it's going to come up one day. It's going to come up one day. We are accountable. We are accountable, you see. We should forgive, knowing resentment and bitterness is damaging. It's damaging to us. It'll ruin you. It's like sin. It'll eat at you. It'll make you not be yourself. Not be yourself. Resentment is like a glass of poison that a man drinks. Then he sits down and waits for his enemy to die. That's what resentment is. Drinking poison and sitting down waiting for your enemy to die. It ain't going to work, folks. It don't work that way. It don't work that way. Forgiveness is simply unlocking the door to set someone free. Unlocking the door to set someone free, realizing that I am in prison. Because it sets me free. It sets me free when I forgive. Because I'm a prisoner. I've not done wrong. When I forgive, it sets me free. It sets me free. You remember the day when you got saved? You asked God to forgive your sins, come into your heart. How did you feel? Free? Relieved? Same thing applies today in our lives, folks. When there's something that's bugging us, something that's bothering us, circumstances, people, whatever it is, forgiving gives us peace, joy, and happiness that we can have and not harbor up bitterness and resentment in our lives day after day after day and bring us down. Not be happy Christians, not be joyful Christians, not be the Christian that God wants us to be. Forgiveness is so important in our lives. It's so important in our lives. Jesus told Peter, not seven times, but seven times 70. Just keep on, keep on, keep on till it's complete. And sometimes it has to be even more than that because of our nature. Our nature is this way, you see. So we see, first of all, forgiveness frees the forgiver. It frees the forgiver. That's why we should forgive. Number two, forgive so that we will be forgiven. Turn over to Matthew chapter 6. Turn back to Matthew chapter 6. Look at verse 14. Matthew 6:14. The Bible says, Jesus is speaking here. He says, "For if you what? Forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also what? Forgive you." Look at verse 15. "But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." See, forgive so you will be forgiven. We must extend the same forgiveness to others, allowing forgiveness to be the victory for both. We also see here, healing relationships requires forgiveness. Relationships are very important today, aren't they? Relationships. Relationships can be hurt, can be destroyed, can be literally destroyed because of unforgiveness. Forgiveness is necessary to heal a relationship. It can be between spouses, it can be between children and parents, co-workers, anybody. It's necessary. It's necessary. Without forgiveness, folks, there is no future. You're not going to be happy. I'm not going to be happy without forgiveness. It just don't work. It just don't work. Also, forgiveness is a testimony of God's love. Turn back to Matthew chapter 5. You've right there at it. Matthew chapter 5, look at verse 44. Forgiveness is a testimony of God's love. God's love towards you and towards me. Verse 44, Matthew 5, verse 44, the Bible says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you." Do you find that hard to do? Do you? We all do. Wow, we have that nature within us, do we not? Do we not to do that? But Jesus said, "I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." That sounds like going out of visitation, doesn't it? Sometimes. But notice in verse 45. Why? Why do we do that? "That you may be the children of" who? "Your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust." Why? "For if you love them which love you, what reward have you?" I mean, it's easy to love people that love you, isn't it? That's no problem. It's no problem. You see, and what reward do you have? Do not even the publicans the same? Verse 47 says, "And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more for others? Do not even the publicans say? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." He's telling us here simply that forgiving is a testimony of God. We forgive with no strings attached, folks. No strings attached. We just learn to forgive. Forgiving. I say that not easily because it's hard. It's just as hard for me to forgive as it is for you to forgive because I have the same nature as you have. We all do. But Jesus tells us to forgive, doesn't he? To forgive. And it's so important. Forgiveness frees the forgiver. Forgiveness is very important so that you will be forgiven. Also, heals relationships. And also, it's a testimony of God's love. It's a testimony of God's love. I'm glad that God loves me. That's why we should forgive. That's why we should forgive. And may the Lord help us, enable us to be what we ought to be for His glory as we go through this life today. Also, not only that, we see something else about forgiveness. How to forgive. How do we forgive? Turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. The Bible says this, talking about how to forgive now. How to forgive. Think of verse 31. Ephesians 4:31, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Verse 32 is the key. "Be ye what? Kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." We need to practice forgiveness before it's needed. The guy that's going to run the race, the marathon, He don't wait till the day of the race to start running, does he? If he did, he wouldn't make it, right? He wouldn't make it. He runs prior to that race so he can run that race. Same way with forgiveness. How to forgive? We need to practice forgiveness before it's needed. Practice it before it's needed. You know, forgiveness, like other virtues, take a daily work. It's a daily work. The little things at work, at home, that you know we need to ask forgiveness for. Or we need to forgive. The little things. Learn to forgive those. And then when the bigger things come, you know, you'll be more ready to forgive. Be more ready to forgive, you see. So practice forgiveness before it's needed. Also, we need to examine our own sin. Examine our own sin. The Bible says in Psalm 19, verse 12, who can understand your arrows? None of us can. He says, cleanse thou me from secret faults. The secret faults. Sometimes we can't understand. We don't know when we've done wrong. Okay? But we have. We can understand. Therefore, we need to ask God to cleanse us from all our errors and our mistakes. Recognizing our own need for God's forgiveness enables us to understand others that offended us and forgive them. But we have to understand ourselves first and the fact that we need to be forgiven also. We all are sinful people, and we all are in need of forgiveness, aren't we? Every day, we need forgiveness in our lives. We're sinners. Humility helps us to extend mercy to others. Mercy to others. I'm glad that God applies mercy to me every day. If it weren't for His mercy, I wouldn't make it through every day. But He gives us mercy, folks. He gives us mercy. You see, recognizing our own need for God's forgiveness enables us to see our offenders need mercy. Our offenders need mercy also. When we realize we need mercy. Because we're all in the same pattern, aren't we? All in the same mold, so to speak, you see. The sins of others, you see. But our sins, we don't see. We're more apt to see somebody else's sins and wrongdoings than we're our own. But it's been said so many times, when we point that finger, we got three pointing back at us, right? We're just as guilty as anybody we point to. Probably more so. More so, you see, in our lives. So we're talking about forgive. How to forgive. Give up your right to revenge. Give up your right to revenge. Don't get back. Don't want to get back. Now, that's against the flesh. That's against the flesh. You see, anger is a natural response. When we're hurt, anger is a natural response. Be careful that our anger does not result in revenge, getting back. Forgiveness. How to forgive. Give up your right to revenge. Practice forgiveness before it's needed. Examine our own sin. Examine our own lives. Examine our own sin. See where we stand, you see. Let forgiveness take time. It takes time. It takes time for me to forgive you. It takes time for you to forgive me. It takes time for a circumstance to get out of our mind and our hearts. It's amazing what time can do, isn't it? When you lose a loved one, it hurts. I mean, it's the most probably one of the most hurtful things in your life. Someone close to you, mom or dad or children, whoever. But it's amazing to me what time can do, how time can heal that heart. That's broken and grieving. But time can do it. Time can do it, you see. Let forgiveness take time. Forgiveness stretches out over time, and you have to start with a will, though, to forgive. You got to forgive first. But then the time will stretch out. Prayers can have powerful effect on a person praying. Prayer is the key, folks, to pray. God can change our hatred into love. I say God can change our hatred to love. We can't, but God can. God can. It's amazing what God can do. We'll let Him. See them as fellow human beings who are loved by God in need of His grace. Those people that offend you, those people that hurt you, that circumstance hurt you, you know, it's for your good. your good. It's God's guiding in your life. Then last we see, trust in God's goodness. Trust in God's goodness. How to forgive. Practice forgiveness before needed. Examine your own sin, your own life. Give up your right to revenge. Let forgiveness take its time. Pray for your enemies. And then trust in God's goodness. God will not lead you wrong. God's always good, folks. He's always good. Placing a painful situation into God's hands is the only possible way to allow ourselves to trust God and to know that God knows best. God knows best. He always does. He always has. Next week, Lord willing, we're going to start on examples of people in the Bible that forgave. We're going to look at people, Christians, people in the Bible that learn this secret of forgiveness, of forgiving people. We're going to look at their lives and how God used them and how God's changed them to be able to forgive. I'm not teaching this lesson today because I want to. I'm because God has laid it on my heart to do it, folks. You know, I really believe we today as Christians especially and people in the world today really need to learn to forgive. Learn how to forgive. It'll make the world a better place if we'll do that. May the Lord help us. Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for the Word of God. Lord, it's quick and powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword, Lord. Sometimes it's not what we want to hear, but Lord, we need to hear it. And Lord, we need to apply it to our lives. And God, I pray you'd help us, Lord, this quarter as we look at the subject of forgiveness and Lord, these examples in the Bible of people, Lord, that were just like us. They did wrong and you forgave them. And God, people did wrong and they forgave them also. And God, help us look at these examples, Lord, and apply the truths to our lives as we go through this quarter together. Have your will and way now in the next service. May Christ be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.